This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But first, we got to head out to the Wade4.com hotline. Let's see what Mr. Miles Garrett has to think about this. Miles, we want to get some Braves talk in with you, but first, I gotta loop you in on this situation here. I'm sure you've been reading it yourself on the socials. Give him a follow on Twitter and Instagram, Miles Garrett. This Kirk Cousins thing, man, it has tentacles upon tentacles upon tentacles, and his future or presumed lack thereof in Atlanta continues just to be such a hot button issue. So, from your best knowledge of information gathering and reading of the tea leaves, what do you predict over the next month and change as we approach the start of the league year the Falcons are going to do with Mr. Kirk?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, Chris. Good evening to you, first of all. But it's interesting because you got to go back to what was told to us, the media, right? Back when this whole losing streak started against the Saints, it was asked whether or not this was injury-related, right? Because the performance obviously dropped off after Kirk Cousins had his Kirktober run. The Falcons were 6-3. Then you go on that four-game losing streak where Kirk Cousins doesn't throw a touchdown, 9 interceptions, finally gets one touchdown against the Raiders. So obviously something was off. They said it was a football-related decision, not injury-related. But as you said, then Kirk Cousins comes on and says he got hurt in that Saints game and basically he wasn't right for the rest of the season. So all those things considered, it's kind of tough to figure out what actually was the truth, right? Because that we were told one thing by Kirk Cousins and we were told another thing by the Falcons. I mean, you might remember Kirk Cousins was in fact on the injured report after that Saints game, and Kirk Cousins credited that to a clerical error. So we don't know whether or not Kirk Cousins was actually hurt. Now, going back to your original question, what is going to happen as a result? Look, I mean, I think when Kirk Cousins was originally slated to be the backup for this team when Michael Penix Jr. took over, and that's what Terry Fontenot had said, I do think there was certainly some apprehension about whether or not you would have a guy making that kind of money be a backup on your team and not play. So obviously, Kirk Cousins wants to continue playing and obviously continue starting in this league. And perhaps this could be a good move for him to potentially get out of the Falcons organization, because I can't imagine the Falcons would want this kind of publicity right now or have to answer for these kinds of questions at this point, where this was apparently sorted out months ago.
Yeah, the interesting part to me before we move on from this topic, Miles, is I'll obviously let you speak for yourself here, but I know all the interactions we had with him on Dukes and Bell and on 92.9 The Game, like, he was as courteous and professional and calm and it seemed like mild-mannered. And then for the switch to be flipped and, you know, not that he did so in an aggressive way, but to do what he did the week of the Super Bowl and admit the injury, it just seemed to fly in the face of all of that.
Yeah, no, it certainly did, because, I mean, it's a reason why, you know, it led our sportscast, and it led probably a lot of other sportscasts across the city, because this was news. You know, we had asked this on many occasions, because, I mean, this losing streak lasted for a while, but as a result, you know, the result we kept getting from the Falcons was no, it is not injured related, and the result we kept getting from Kirk Cousins was no, it is not injured related. So, to, I guess, finally hear that kind of was a little confusing. And the fact that we had been told one thing and then here's another thing that apparently had been happening.
All right. So draft is coming up. It'll be here before we know it. Is there anything that the Falcons should do other than take the best defensive line player on the draft board available at 15?
Yeah, I know that's the popular topic of discussion when it comes to who the Falcons should take. But I do think, you know, there is an argument for, you know, I mean, I know Terry Fontenot has had that best player available mantra. Now, as far as 15, who is the best player available, I think this is a weaker draft class than kind of ones we've seen from that regard as far as that, you know, spicier player per se. You know, I could see a guy like Malachi Starks being a decent fit for the Falcons. You know, you need another safety. I imagine Justin Simmons could be a question mark to come back to this team. You obviously know you have in Jesse Bates. But, yeah, I mean, of course, edge rushers. It's easy to really point to the Georgia Bulldogs, right? Mykel Williams and Jaylen Walker, these guys that obviously stand out that would theoretically fill a need for not Georgia, the Falcons. But, yeah, I mean, it's a very obvious need. I can imagine that Terry will probably keep his options open as far as trading back is concerned because they are limited with their picks this year with the Kirk Cousins situation from last season. So I could see that possibly being a situation as well.
Talking with our good buddy Miles Garrett. Make sure you check him out on socials as well as on the TV. Fox 5 doing the sports reports covering all things Atlanta sports and beyond. All right, when it comes to some of the other positions that the Falcons need, secondary obviously comes to mind, Miles, because in my opinion, they need another starting corner, safety, and nickelback. How many of those do you think they could pluck out of the draft versus have to go get with what will ultimately, unfortunately, be a limited cap space for spending?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly why I mentioned Malachi Starks in, you know, talking about who could be available at pick 15, right? I mean, you look at guys like Travis Hunter and Will Johnson, some guys that'll probably be gone at that point. So you're going to have to really take a deep dive into some of who these guys, or rather some of what the deeper portions of the draft can be. Because look, let's go back to the defensive line prospects, right? I think this is a very deep defensive line class. I believe it was, I forgot who it was, some draft analyst who had said that last year compared to this year, I think he had a starting grade on like 9 potential prospects. This year, I believe it was somewhere like 20. So there is a depth area for that when it comes to those defensive linemen as compared to the defensive backs. So, I mean, we've all seen what Malachi Starks can do. Maybe it's a little bit of bias seeing how I've covered him quite a bit, but he is very good. Will Johnson, certainly a guy that out of Michigan that would be pretty good as well. Barron out of Texas. I don't know if he'd be worth the number 15 pick, but there are some guys out there. So, the argument that you said is very valid and that they do need another cornerback opposite A.J. Terrell because I don't think you can roll with what you had last year because I think you saw the results that happened.
All right, when it comes to the Atlanta Braves, I know there's a lot of optimism, as usual, as there should be, but I think maybe, Miles, going into this spring training, a couple of more holes than we're used to. I think you can make an argument shortstop is an area that could have been upgraded. Certainly needed another arm in the bullpen. I could argue you needed two with the loss of Joe Jimenez and A.J. Minter. And then they are really rolling the dice. I know they did it last year, and it was a home run with Lopez and Sale, but having Anderson and Holmes compete for spots at the back end of the starting rotation, what's your assessment of the club as a whole as we head into spring training?
Yeah, you really touched on a lot of them right there. But, yeah, we've spoken to just about everybody in the clubhouse, and that goes from Alex Anthopoulos all the way up to what they did this offseason. And that was a question that we asked Alex, you know, because you see all these other teams, namely the Dodgers, that are spending money left and right, bringing in all this talent, and yet you see the Braves here, all they really added was Jurickson Profar. So that did certainly still a need, but like you said, there were arguments for other needs, like another starting pitcher, or maybe even two, like you said, another reliever as well, an upgraded shortstop. But the answer to all those questions really basically sat with the fact that there's a lot of faith in who is currently in-house. And there is a point to that, of course, because, I mean, you just look back to the beginning of last season. Obviously, you lose Max Fried, but without him, I mean, this is still mostly the same team that is coming back, which preseason was basically the hottest World Series pick next to the Dodgers because of who you had on staff. Now, the injuries certainly played a factor in that, but I mean, you get all these guys back. Then some of these guys are just hurt for the whole season. Austin Riley, Matt Olson, Sean Murphy, hurt on day one. Ronald Acuna, Spencer Strider. Right now, these guys are going to be healthy. I mean, obviously, Acuna and Strider won't start on the opening day roster, but their progress looks very, very good. Acuna said he's at about 90 to 95%. Now, the pitching staff, I do think, will be the big question. They're putting a lot of faith in guys, like you said, Ian Anderson, Grant Holmes, to kind of get back to, specifically Ian Anderson, getting back to that form of 2020, 2021. And then a lot of young guys, too. I mean, Hurston Waldrop was their first-round pick. They've almost unanimously all talked about him as being a guy to watch. Of course, A.J. Smith-Shawver, this is a year that he really needs to kind of put it all together. He's had some chances. So it's really going to depend on all those guys, Chris, as far as if they can put it together and if they can all stay healthy, because right now they have a lot of faith that they have the pieces in place right now on the roster.
In the division, you know, it's funny. The Mets added Juan Soto, but I think you can make a sound argument, Miles, that the Mets are still the third best team in the NL East behind the Braves and the Phillies.
Yeah, I think you can. And I think, I mean, I know that the Phillies won the division last year and the Phillies were very good, but I still think you can make the argument that this is still the Braves division. You know, it is, I mean, they have the record to show up. They still have the guys in place. And I think the Braves at this point have deserved the benefit of the doubt to kind of show that, yes, we can get back to the playoffs. It's just a matter of getting over the hump and winning the World Series again, because you can argue that they've had better teams since that 2021 team that won. I mean, in 2023, obviously, we know what they did. In 22, they came in very hot. This past year, I think you can chalk up to a mulligan because of the injuries. But I would still consider the Braves right there at the class of the National League East, and maybe even the National League right up there with the Dodgers, if they can stay healthy, Chris. I think that's the main storyline with this Braves team. It's just something they couldn't do last year. And if they do stay healthy, I don't see why they can't be there again.
All right. Before I let you go, two-parter here. What did you make of the revamped NBA All-Star Weekend? And then did you hone in on any of this Four Nations Classic that seems to be sweeping the country by storm? And, I mean, you could argue Four Nations because it seems to be really, really popular with the U.S. taking down Canada. You catch any of that?
I saw a little bit of both, and I will say that the NBA All-Star Weekend was another disappointment for me, I'll say. It has been a disappointment for quite some time. I mean, really at this point, Chris, I think the only all-star event that I've actually enjoyed watching has been baseball and maybe hockey, just because, I mean, NFL, NBA, I mean, you look at some of these other ones that they're almost, you know, going through the motions in it at this point. And obviously, I know they're trying to do these different mulligans with the NBA to make it more interesting, but I mean, it's tough to watch a little bit, I think. But the hockey situation with the nations, I mean, USA, Canada, it's hard not to feel patriotic watching that game. That was pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, and then you had three fights in the course of 9 seconds. I mean, listen, I'm going to raise my hand. I had no idea that they were even doing this, but good on them for trying something different. And, you know, maybe the NBA can take a page out of that book. Who knows? All right, Miles, appreciate the time as always, jumping on a holiday night. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and we'll talk soon.
You too, Chris. Take care.